Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome back to the Strategic Hot Box. It's your girl, Dr. Brandi Stankovic. I'm excited that you're joining us. This is a really important topic that we're going to tackle today. We're going to talk about, the official title is Size Doesn't Matter, but we're going to talk about weight discrimination. We're going to talk about how much it occurs in the United States, all over the world, and how debilitating it can be. And we're going to figure out ways that we can be amazing in moments, that we can all improve ourselves, or if we're in and we receive any discrimination, what we can do to be better at it. So join me. Let's kick some ass together. As always, the podcast is broken up into three segments, the Learn, the Love, and the Kick-Ass. In the Learn segment, we'll talk about this big, delicious topic, and it is big, and I think it's important, and I say it's delicious because of the fact that really it is something that affects more people than they are willing to say. In the Love section, we're going to talk to one of the most amazing people that I've ever worked with. Her spirit is alive and you will feel it immediately, whether you're listening today to the podcast or you're watching us on video. You are going to love her as well. And that is Nancy Wilson. She's going to share some of her stories and some tools that we can implement. And then, of course, in the Kick-Ass, we'll give you some things that you can start changing today. And when it comes to size doesn't matter, when you hear the term discrimination, when we talk about discrimination, especially in the world right now, the way it is right now, what ends up being top of mind is things like race, gender, sexual orientation. And all of those things are very important. There is an additional important topic, and that is weight discrimination. And many people don't even realize how often size or weight discrimination occurs in life. As a matter of fact, it's the fourth most prevalent type of discrimination in the United States anyway, and I know it occurs in different places in the world. So those of you that are listening from different places all over the globe, you may see instances of this as well. And it's almost like it's a misnomer, or there's like this justification that makes it okay to discriminate based on size because it may or may not be lifestyle related. It may or not be in the control of the person that is receiving this discrimination. And one, that's just never, there's never a justification for hate, right? From my perspective, I think we should always be spreading love. Secondly, a lot of times it isn't in the power of the person that may be receiving this. And third, who are you to be able to make that judge, make that determination? And I think that's where we need to start, is that it's not okay, that it's the same as hate towards some other type that makes someone unique or different. 50%, there has been a 50% increase in this discrimination that has occurred. So over the last several years, it becomes more and more prevalent. And a lot of times, people have even been terminated due to their size. There's issues when it comes to locations, you know, and all of that. And really, it hits close to home for me. I'm 5'9", so never in my life, even at my thinnest, have I ever been accused of being small. And I think that there's many people that'll be listening and watching today that can relate to different size challenges in whatever capacity is different or right for you. My husband is 6'6", and so he considers himself a freak. He's very, very tall and doesn't fit into any normal human being anything, doorways, chairs, airplanes, clothes. And so because of that, he literally uses the term freak for himself because he is just so different. And in his particular case, doesn't necessarily receive any negative discrimination, although everyone comments on it. Every time anybody ever meets him, there is a comment about, how's the air up there? Or, you must have played basketball. And I'm using a silly example in order to highlight the fact that things like this come out of our mouths as human beings without even recognizing that somebody could be sensitive to it. And why talk about the things that make us different? Why don't we talk about things that bring us together, commonalities, affinity? One of the things that I want to share, an experience that I have before we bring in Nancy to tell us and just change our lives, is when I was pregnant with my son James. When I was pregnant, first of all, pregnancy was difficult. Second, I gained a little over 70 pounds. So I wasn't small to begin with. And then I gained a lot of weight. And then I went into the hospital and had some challenges and retained even more water. And then I had an emergency C-section. So to say the least, it was very emotional and it was this big deal. And I shared some of it with you, some of the stories and different things. But nonetheless, I wasn't feeling pretty and thin and skinny and confident, right? I was feeling just had. I don't know if there's a better way to put that. But nonetheless, I get done having this baby and I go from the operating room or the room where I deliver the baby or had the C-section into the recovery room. And they took me in there and then they had to get me from that, is it the gurney? I'm not sure I'm using that term correctly, onto the bed where I'd be staying. And the nurse that was in this process, and it was the middle of the night, couldn't have been 5 foot tall. She couldn't have weighed 100 pounds. And so she starts making this enormous deal about how big I am. And oh my gosh, she's just so huge. And I don't know how to possibly move her. And what am I going to do? And oh, if she only had not gained so much weight during pregnancy. And I cannot believe we have to deal with this so often. And just so obnoxious that I finally said to her, you realize that an epidural doesn't change my hearing, broad. Right? Like I looked at like, you gotta be freaking kidding me right now. I can't even believe this is occurring. And then finally just said, it got to the point where I was emotional about it. And I finally said, like, let my husband move me. Like, let him pick me up and move me. Now he'd have probably broken his back, let's be honest. But he wouldn't have made me feel that way. And what ended up happening is they got this like blow up raft thing and like six people and whatever. But it was one of the worst experiences ever. And this is just one thing that happened while I was pregnant. And so to be in a position where somebody's receiving this type of discrimination all the time is heartbreaking to me. And I really would like to be a voice for saying that this isn't fair and this isn't good. And I think that the fact that there's health and all the stuff tied into that is important. So I want to spread love and I want to share joy. And I can think of nobody better to help us with a perspective or frame of mind to do that than Miss Nancy Wilson. She has an incredible way of providing an outlook or sharing information with people that maybe will change the way that you think about things. And she has the most delicious North Dakotan accent you'll ever hear ever. So let me formally introduce you to Nancy Wilson. She's a training and development director at North Star Community Credit Union. So shout out to my friends up at North Star. She's a credit and development educator, DE, from the class of 2015. She's a mentor of financial literacy to high school students and junior high kids. She's a speaker and presenter and MC. She is a 2017 rock star in credit union land, and she's an overall rock star in life. So please join me in welcoming Nancy Wilson. Hey, Nancy, how are you?
Hello.
I'm so glad that you are here with us today. How warm is it there in North Dakota?
Well, this morning when I got in my car, it was negative 20.
I'm not even sure what that means.
Like, it means you're just numb.
Does that even register on? I can't believe your car can even read negative 20. Oh my
right?
gosh. Well, thank you. Despite that craziness, if it was negative 20 in Las Vegas, I'm pretty sure Las Vegas would shrivel up and just everybody would dissipate into nothing. Probably yeah. The same is true if you had one of our summers. But let's talk about this important topic here. And I was framing it just a little and you heard me kind of sharing some stories. So tell us a little bit first about your journey and your journey in leadership, and then we can transfer in.
Well, I want to talk about a little bit about my journey as myself.
Please.
Because I will tell you that as a child, I was blissfully unaware that I was chunky. I kind of just did my own thing always. And it lasted clear until high school. In fact, my first boyfriend, I sat down to him next to him in lunch and I said, I like you. So what are we going to do about that?
Oh, I love that. So
we ended up dating for about 5 years. He was the same height as your husband. And I obviously am too. I'm just kidding. I'm 5'3". And it just didn't bother me. But once you hit those certain ages, then kids become mean. Your peers become mean. So it became apparent to me around end of high school into college that I was gaining weight and not understanding why. I actually was doing things to prevent it. I was swimming 60 laps 4 times a week. I wasn't losing a pound. And then flash forward to 20 years old, I got married. And the first thing I wanted to do, of course, is the American dream is have a child. And it wasn't happening for me. So we tried for 9 years, my husband and I. I went to several specialists, and all of whom said, well, gosh, you're overweight. They really didn't look into it any further. They didn't diagnose me with anything. That happened for 9 years. And I want to say I saw about 6 specialists. Wow. All of them said, gosh, you're too big. You can't have a child. I looked at my husband about the 9th year and I said, one more doctor. That's all I'm doing is one more doctor. And I took a chance on a small town doctor in Mitchell, South Dakota. Mm-hmm. And he looked at my massive file, he thumbed through it, and he said, I know exactly what you have. You have polycystic ovary syndrome. I had no idea what it was. But looking it up now, it's just this huge umbrella of yuck, especially for a female. You can have facial hair, you can have thinning hair, you can't lose weight. He put me on medicine, and the very next month, after 9 years of trying, I was pregnant with my
son. Wow. Man alive.
So, yeah, it was a miracle because he took the time to get to know me and to understand my situation and not just look at my size, which I really fully feel that those specialists were doing is just looking at my size. He looked at my file. He looked at my details. And because of that, I have a healthy 11-year-old son who's the light of my life.
Aww. Well, that I like that you're bringing that piece of it up too, because once people get labeled, so whether it's by size or any sort of label, And that can go across all discrimination. But once people get into that category, it's like people don't look beyond that.
They don't.
So thank you for sharing that. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, no, it's just one of those things where that's where my voice, you know, that kind of turns into that leadership question, is that's where my voice came from, is when I realized that I wasn't being helped because they saw my size. I started asking better questions for myself. Mm-hmm. And that is where the leadership came into it.
I love it. And what is the hardest thing that you've had to overcome when it comes to size and weight discrimination?
Oh my gosh, the stigma of being overweight. The stigma of we all like buffets. Oh gosh, I don't map my day by what buffets are close to me. In fact, I hate them.
Like you said, that people have said you must like a buffet? Oh my
gosh.
Yep. Yeah.
Or if I'm in a group of people and somebody will say, well, I'm sure you want to go to a buffet. Really? I know. And I don't map my day around buffets. In fact, anything that requires a sneeze guard is not really my appetite. And the stigma that every overweight person is unhealthy.
Right.
That's not the truth. And
that's
we don't take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a lot of people say, you got to work with what you got. And I like to think that I work with what I got.
Yeah, you're working it, girl. I love it. Now I'm going to think about Subway and Porta Subs, my favorites, like in a completely different way next time, just so you know. But the it's interesting that in the fact that there's the people outwardly make comments. I mentioned a story of when I was pregnant, and when I was towards, it was 4 or 5 months, I started to look like I was full term pregnant. Like I just walked around looking like I was 10 months pregnant always. And the entire time, I remember somebody I worked with came up to me and said, are you having twins? And I said, you know, no, you know, just one. And she goes, are you sure? And I remember thinking to myself, well, yeah, like I'm pretty sure. Like I feel like I'm pretty sure. And that same like the thing of asking, like the question is entirely intended to be rude. Like there's literally no other reason to ask a question about food, buffets, or twins other than to be hateful. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I say the same thing about the word fat. Unfortunately, fat is not a designed word to make anything feel good.
That's true.
So in my household, we use it because if you're describing a human being or even an animal as fat, that's not a positive thing. So we just don't use it in my house.
What words do you use instead, or do you avoid it completely?
I tell my son especially to use words that make him feel comfortable. Like for me, I call myself a chunky monkey all the time because I can, because it's me. But for whoever it is out there, use a word that makes you feel comfortable with yourself. Mm. I just don't like that word of fat, because it just is not designed to make anybody feel good. And I don't want to make people feel that way.
That's smart. So you're kind of leading into it, but how do you teach others to remain positive, or how do you keep a positive frame of mind in a moment of discrimination or challenge?
You know, that's been a journey in itself, because I, you know, as little as probably 5 years ago, when somebody would make a comment to me, I literally wanted to just have the earth suck me in. Yeah. I wanted to just be invisible. I don't know what changed for me, other than the fact that I saw those moments as pivotal moments for me to react with kindness, mm-hmm. because I learned so quickly that hurt people hurt people. So something has happened to them. Something has made them so abrasive. And it's not my fault, but I happen to be the face of it. And I can turn that around. And that's a choice that I get to make. And that's kind of magical. I get to choose to use those as teaching lessons rather than, you know, going at it. And that's not going to solve anything.
Oh, gosh, you're almost making me emotional. It is magical, Nancy, and the fact that you're almost giving yourself power, and the fact that you're not giving them that right to take something away from you.
Right. I don't, you know, for the longest time, especially in school and children, kids can be mean. And unfortunately, sometimes the kids that are mean become adults that are mean. Mm-hmm. We don't always mature with age, but we always have that opportunity to turn a situation around. Not everybody is going to accept it, and not everybody's going to get something out of it, but it's like a gift that you leave at their doorstep. You tried. Mm-hmm. And I like to walk away knowing that I tried.
Have you had a time where you've given somebody that gift back and they reacted positively?
Absolutely. One of the most powerful situations was in a store, actually. And a woman, I just happened to be in line in front of her. And a woman was super in a hurry, way, way more in a hurry than anybody else in the world. and she was just commenting on the amount of food that I had on the conveyor belt thing there. And, it was one of those times where I was out of groceries, and I'm talking about SpaghettiOs for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just making very rude comments. And I turned around. It was making me a little sweaty. It was making me a little uncomfortable. And I turned around and I put my hand out and I said, "My name is Nancy. What's yours?" And I learned that she was stressed about bills. I learned that her son's birthday was coming up and she didn't feel like she had enough money for it. I learned that I was not her problem. Mm-hmm. There were other problems. And she actually thanked me. She actually gave me a hug, and we parted ways. And that moment was the moment that I felt, oh my gosh, I've had this ability all along. I need to use it.
You're making me emotional, Nancy. I feel very, very, literally a little embarrassed in the studio here, because I know, because I'm just going to wipe a tear. First of all, thank you for sharing that. It's very, very powerful. And secondly, thank you for being amazing enough and strong enough to be able to be in a moment where most people would turn around and give hate as a back from hate, that you are able to stop, get over anything that you might be feeling in that way, and provide something to her and end up building her life. I mean, it's enormous. That's amazing.
It is. It is. And that power is within all of us. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's easy to recognize that in those moments where the easiest thing to do is to lash back,
right?
Is to say something back, is to say a swear word, is to use a middle finger. It's so easy to do that.
Or to go inside, right?
Absolutely. To just want the world to suck you in. I've been on many airplanes where I felt that way. Just recently at the doctor's office, I felt that way. It's that pivotal moment where you can change the way that you can change the story.
Yeah.
You have that power. That's pretty cool.
So what was an unexpected thing that you learned? I mean, you've shared about this kind of transition or transformation that you've had. I mean, was that the most unexpected, or were there other moments of
I think the most unexpected for me is like something that I had already said, but that hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. I don't know when it occurred to me that no human being is so cruel to another person just for sport. Usually that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Usually there's something behind the scenes that doesn't even involve us. But taking the time to give that grace to that person isn't always the easiest. But you have to give yourself grace to allow that grace.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you're right. You're right. People are typically coming from a place of insecurity or hurt themselves. And it's interesting to hear about the woman in the grocery store in the story that you shared that had nothing necessarily to do with what she was commenting on. It was coming from a completely different place that was just causing it to boil over into that area as well.
Absolutely. And do you mind if I share the doctor's office
story?
Please, absolutely. It just happened.
Please, please.
I had gone to the doctor's office, I think this was just last week, and as I walked in to check in, I heard two people behind me, it's cold, so us North Dakotans bundle up, you know, and so I had my big puffy coat on, and a young couple sat right behind me as I was checking in, I was waiting to check in, and I heard the husband say, look, it's a Yeti, and his wife said, she doesn't even need a coat, she has enough insulation herself. And it went on as I checked in, and I thought for a moment, I really wanted to whip around and be like, listen, I already don't feel good. I don't need you. And they were taking photos of me, which I could hear their camera, the little click, click. So as I got finished checking in, I turned around and I bent down and I smiled for a selfie with them. And they both looked at me like, what are you doing? And I said, I thought you would like to maybe when you're going through your pictures of me, see the face of the person that you're bullying for no reason.
Oh.
And any other day, I probably, you know, as like I said, as little as 5 years ago, I probably would have sat on the way end of the waiting room. But instead, I sat directly across from them. And the last thing I said to them is, I'm a human being. And that was it. They were very uncomfortable. And that was okay with me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that they were. And again, you've made me very emotional. Okay, so I'm no longer able. Yeah, exactly. You're going to have to take over as the host. I think that one is you're bringing to highlight and showing them that the human beings that they were being, right? Mm-hmm. And that is really powerful and important. And two, again, able to absorb or not absorb, let it bounce off of you, that the hate that they were throwing your direction. And that is just so amazing and powerful. And so thank you for being that human being. Thank you for spreading that love. And I want others to be able to do the same for, you know, people that are out there. And I have in my notes to ask you for a funny story or some example, but I feel like you've already given so many. Are there any other funny stories or things that you wanted to share?
You know, a long time ago, in a life before this, I was a paraprofessional and I worked with children, and we all know that children are very, very honest.
Yes. Okay.
And so one of the little boys in the line, he said to me, oh my gosh, you're so fat. And I said, that's what happens when you eat school lunch.
Oh, he brought his lunch to the
He brought his lunch for the rest of the year.
Oh, no.
But you know, that was kind of my first taste. My first reaction has always been humor.
Uh-huh.
And I think I've always hidden behind that. Mm-hmm. You know, the old adage that when you're in school, just laugh with them and they'll leave you alone, or make fun of yourself with them and they'll leave you alone. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. It just kind of welcomes it into your life. So I started using humor, and through that humor, I learned that maybe there was just a better way, and a better way is just being honest.
Yeah. Gosh, you are so amazing. I love it. If we can share. Yeah. We're clapping here at the studio for you. We're all just absolutely in love. It could be your red lipstick, or it just could be you in general. I can't decide. But tell us a bold action item, a takeaway. What can people start doing differently today?
In every day of every moment, you have a choice to change the story. You have the choice to make that journey a good one or a bad one. So when you walk away, choose the good. Choose the peace.
Choose love.
Absolutely.
I love it. So if people wanted to get a hold of you or learn more about you, how could they do that?
Well, they can email me definitely at Nancy with an I. They call me Nance I here at work. Nancy W at NorthstarCCU.com. My direct line is 701-922-6341. And under Facebook, I'm under Nancy GW.
All right. Thank you so much, Nancy, for sharing your story. We love you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I know you've inspired everybody here and all the people that are listening and watching us today. So thank you.
It's been an honor. Thank you so much for having me.
Stay warm in North Dakota.
I will try. Don't you know.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye. Let's head out to our shout out.
G'day, I'm Steve from Brisbane, Australia. Just doing a shout out to Brandy and all their mates. Currently cruising through the States in the snow, alone. Yeah, it's great. Catch you later.
Thank you to Steve from Brisbane for that shout out, that amazing shout out. Much love to you. And you were driving in the snow just like Nancy is living in. And I don't think I've recovered from my conversation with Nancy just now. We're all just looking at each other in the studio going, she's amazing. She's amazing. So thank you to Nancy and thank you to Steve for that. So now it's time to kick some ass. Let's take what Nancy said and let's make something happen with that. Number one is to stand up for what's right. I believe in what Nancy was saying, the fact that she's able to absorb when she receives discrimination, she receives hate, and say that it's her choice on what to do and what to do next. That's amazing. And stand up for that. The way that she, in the story that she shared, that she took the selfie and said to the couple that I want them to have a photo of the person that you're bullying. I mean, that it's amazing. And she is standing up for it, and I will do the same. Number two is to walk in someone else's shoes. Know what I was feeling on the bed after having a baby and feeling that way. Know what Nancy's feeling or anybody else that's in different situations. We never know where they're at, or even the woman in the grocery store who was impatient. Nancy shared with us the importance of taking time to get to know other people and to walk in their shoes and understand their story. And like she said, that hurt typically comes from hurt. And it's important to understand the other perspective, but still to stand up for what you believe in. Number three is to see the beauty in everyone. I think that I'm all about choosing love and seeing love and seeing the beauty that everybody has to offer, no matter what it is that they're bringing to the table. So choose that and choose to see the beauty in others. Number four is to know your worth. I love that she doesn't use certain hurtful words in her home, and I urge you to do the same. Know how valuable and amazing that you are. Know and believe inside of you that you are a beautiful human being, and that no matter what some impatient woman says at the grocery store, you are intended on this planet to be here and to be something and live that purpose and live for what you believe in and what you think is right. And number five, to be kind. As Nancy mentioned, you know, choose to be kind, choose the path that's right, and choose love, as I like to frame it. And really that you have that option to see that beauty, to be what you want to be, to understand their perspective, but really it's all up to you in the moment to be kind and recognize that anything that we're saying about someone in a judgment or a discriminatory way is going to hurt. It's meant and intended. There's no other purpose for it than that. So let's choose love and be kind instead. That's your top five kick ass. Thank you again to Nancy for being here. I'm so happy and thankful. Yes, we're all clapping here. Yay! For being here and sharing your love with us. We are still, and I'm still impacted by it. I'm going to be forever. And I hope all of you that are listening and watching get the same, because she is pretty incredible in the stories and impact that she is making. We'd like to hear from you on any other topics that you want us to tackle here on the Strategic Hot Box. Hit us up, podcast@strategichotbox.com. Head on over to our website. We have all of Nancy's info, all the other guests. We've got worksheets and tools and videos, lots of snippets and fun things to help you kick ass along the way and make some things happen. And you can always hit us up on social media as well. Lots of you are out there on Facebook with us. We've got Instagram. We've got Twitter. We got you. Come find us. Until next time, be kind and kick some ass.